What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be recapping two losses for the Wizards. And, apologies, I wasn't able to recap the loss to the Kings. Again, you didn't miss much from that. It was another double-digit loss. I think it was 128 to 115. A rather non-competitive game for the larger part of four quarters. Not too much to talk about from that one. So it's going to be mainly focused on the most recent loss, which was to Denver tonight, 121 to 115. It was actually a really good quality tank loss, and I think that was my biggest takeaway, is you saw some really quality performances, specifically from Keyshawn George, who was great in the loss to the Clippers and had some really good games over this road trip. But tonight, 29.7 assists, only one turnover, three blocks. Thought he was really good, and sort of want to break down what I saw from him. You also have the other part of it, which is Trey Johnson, who has been pretty good since he returned from that hip injury. Tonight, probably his worst game as a rookie, 1 of 10. Really poor performance shooting wise from him. So I'm going to be here to break it all down for you. Also, haven't talked about Cam Whitmore since it was announced that he's going to miss the rest of the season. So we'll definitely get into that. And honestly, I should probably talk about that now because we can get to the Denver game at some point. I'm sure you guys, if you watched it, good for you on a Saturday night. From 9 p.m. and on Eastern Standard Time. If you're watching these games, like if you're staying up and you're watching the Wizards lose to the Kings at about 12:30 or 1 a.m. Eastern Time, for to move them to 10 and 30 on the season, respect to you when they eventually, if they do become good, like you are the fan that probably deserves that success, and I respect it. If you're not and you miss the games, like I think most Wizards fans probably did, if you're going out or having fun on Friday or Saturday, again, don't blame you for doing it. And again, that's why I'm here, is as someone who watched the games to recap it for you. But if you missed it, I believe this was Thursday. It was announced that it was Thursday or Friday that it was announced that Cam Whitmore will miss the remainder of the season. Obviously, he had been out since I think early December with deep vein thrombosis. The Wizards had found a blood clot in his right shoulder again. Really scary stuff. Wemby had the same injury last season and again caused him to miss the remainder of the year. And I thought that was a possibility with Cam. The Wizards said he'd be out for several months at the time, and eventually they ruled him out for the remainder of the season. So very scary stuff. Wishing Cam nothing but the best, hoping for a speedy recovery for him, but his season is done, right? He's still only 21 years old. Didn't have, I think, the season that many Wizards fans anticipated. He got some glimpses, right, where he had a couple games, 20 points or at least near there, especially that game against Chicago on the road where I thought he was very good. You had a lot of fans that sort of wanted to give him a bigger role, but Brian Keefe seemed pretty confident in him coming off the bench. He averaged 9.5 points, nearly three boards. Could have shot a lot better, I think, from the field, and certainly sub 30% from three is definitely not where he wants to be at. So I think there's more levels for Cam to get to in terms of his game and in terms of just becoming a more well-rounded player. Like, we know he's a big dude. He can get to the rim whenever he wants. We know he's quick in transition, and that's where his game is at its best. But he's got to be a better half-court player. He's got to be able to play within the system and within the offense where his shots aren't just calling his own number. It's he's getting them within the flow of the game, and he's getting them within the flow of the offense. And I think that's the next step in the evolution of Whitmore's game. I think shooting the three is definitely at a more consistent level because you've seen games where he's really locked in from deep. But you also see some games where he can't hit from there, and the percentages back it up. And so there's definitely way more to his game. He's under contract for $5.5 million next season because the Wizards picked his option up. There could be an extension. I think the Wizards have an October deadline to extend both Whitmore and Coulibaly because they're in the same draft class. Like maybe they explore that. Maybe they're like, down year, miss most of the season with the blood clot. Maybe it's like a Denny situation. And the same with Bilal, where you're like, hey, they haven't had the greatest of seasons, but we can get them on a pretty team-friendly deal now. We're betting on them. We're banking on them playing really well. And so if we're at this point next year, we're like, you know what? I'm glad I extended them. So maybe that's the case with Cam, but obviously he has ways to go. Still 21, long NBA career ahead of him, but obviously a scary injury. So Hopefully he gets better and he's all healthy for next year. But he's going to be out for the remainder of the season. Not much changes for the Wizards with the rotations because again they've been out without him for a while. He was benched before he was diagnosed with the deep vein thrombosis. So again, the Wizards have been playing without him for a while. So not much will change rotationally. But the threat or not the threat, but the possibility of him returning obviously is not a thing anymore. He's going to be out for the year. So wanted to kind of touch on that for a bit in the beginning. Getting into the Denver game, again, it was I wanted the Wizards to start better. They were a minus, I think it was a 19 against the Clippers in the first quarter and a minus 15 against the Kings. I mean, they went 6.5 minutes in Sacramento the other night without a made field goal, which is just impressive, honestly, at that point. But they were a minus 34 over the past two first quarters. So I wanted them to come out and get a better start, and they did. I mean, Denver hit a three at the end, but they were really close in the first quarter, down seven. And then they went into halftime with a lead. They held Denver under 30 in the quarter, and for most teams, a sub 30-point quarter for the opponent is standard. A couple of times over a couple game stretch, the Wizards rarely have that, right? So holding Denver to 26 in the second was great, and it's the reason they were able to sort of storm back and win the quarter by eight, take a lead into half. I thought I saw some good moments from Sar. In terms of in the pick and roll, getting to that roller spot, getting down low and sort of being able to dominate there. But there's always something that you can take from it, and what I've seen over the last couple of games is his hands, and man, they've been an issue, and it's impressive he scores as much as he does with how poor his hands are, and by hands I mean his ability to catch the ball on the roll, or when he's thrown a lob, or when somebody throws an entry pass or a bounce pass to him in the low post. It's he struggles to just catch the ball. I mean, I don't know if that's just being antsy or anxious about it, or looking at how I'm going to score before he looks at how am I going to catch the ball or receive the ball. But I mean, there was one against Sacramento. It was a 3-on-0 break. He got a pass and he was thinking so much about the dunk, he just lost the ball out of bounds. There was not a king near him. And I mean, against Denver, there were a couple moments. So I think just, it's hard to really get frustrated with too much of what he does because he's so good and this far in his career, his ability to protect the rim is so great. And I think honestly, undervalued by most of the league and a lot of Wizards fans because he's been so much better at protecting the rim than I think even the normal fan can see. But if I did have to harp on one thing, it's the hands. And I think Wizards fans have been on this since his summer league struggles, but he obviously needs to get better at that area. And I think this far into his career, with all the struggles he had early on, like the hands being the biggest issue for him and really the only issue for him is a good thing, right? So I'm not saying by any means that I'm like disappointed in what I've seen output wise from Alex, but he's got to be able to catch the ball a lot better on these entry passes, on these pick and rolls and so forth. So I thought he was pretty solid tonight again. No Jokic for Denver, but Alex finished with 16 on 7 of 12 from the field, 8 boards. Thought he was much better on the glass than he was the last couple games. Got to the line 7 times, which is great. Only made 2. Again, not great. But again, I thought he was pretty solid tonight. You obviously had a different starting backcourt. You had against the Kings, but obviously again against the Nuggets. Bilal Coulibaly had back stiffness against the Clippers. Barely played in that game. Went home to Washington, and so he hasn't been out, with the team. Obviously not starting the last two games, which means Bob Carrington, Trey Johnson have been the backcourt. Again, that's a lot of firepower offensively. It's a pretty good shooting backcourt from deep. It's also probably the worst backcourt you can possibly put together defensively, and as a result, the Wizards have struggled to defend the perimeter. I mean, Denver entered this game number one in the league at 40.3% from three. Again tonight, they were 14 to 35 at 40%. It's a big reason they won, and it was one of my keys to the game because I knew number one, it's really good versus really bad. Really good Denver team shooting the three ball, a really bad Washington team defending the three, but also the two guards that you're starting and that you're playing 30 plus minutes are two of your worst perimeter defenders, on ball defenders, in total defenders on your team. And as a result, they struggled. I knew they struggled to defend Jamal Murray, no Bilal, but also obviously with Carrington and Trey Johnson as your guards. And you mean Jamal was so good. I think he had 17 in the fourth, 42 points, 15 to 24 from the field. He's really elite. He's really good. He closed this game for them. And so that was one of my concerns, and it was answered. I had three keys to the game. One was a quick start. The Wizards sort of got that going, but still down seven, so maybe not exactly what you were anticipating. Defending the perimeter, they did not do that well at all. Too many wide open shooters for the Nuggets. I mean, Aaron Gordon hit a big three at the end. Jamal Murray hit a big three at the end. It was, when they needed to stop, and they couldn't get it. When Denver needed a bucket, they went to the three and they got good looks. And they made them, and that's kind of why they were able to pull away in this one. So obviously, and then the last one was guarding Jamal Murray without Blaw, and they didn't do a good job at that either. Not the greatest of games, but you got to talk about Keyshawn George because he had a really good start to the year, cooled off in the beginning, obviously missed seven games with that injury. But he's come back on this road trip and he's been really good. And tonight was one of his best games of the season. Finished in 32 minutes with 29 points on 10 of 20 from the field. Made 5 of his 8 triples, 5 rebounds, 7 assists to just 1 turnover. Had 3 blocks. Again, like with George, it's always a couple things that he does really well, but there's always the, he has 8 assists, but there's 5 turnovers. Or, his assist to turnover ratio is good, but he struggles from three and he has 5 fouls and barely plays the fourth because he's in foul trouble. All of those things, it's hard for George to kind of put it together, but tonight he did, efficient from the field, made 5 of his 8 threes, nearly 30 points. Grabbed 5 boards, the 7 assists, just 1 turnover. That's an awesome ratio for a guy that's really being asked to do a lot more on ball than he probably should be doing. But I thought he's handled it pretty well throughout the season, and tonight was great. And then the fouls, four, pretty up there, but again, he wasn't in foul trouble really. He kind of picked them up, and he had 3 for the most part. He fouled Jamal Murray with a minute left. That was just one real blunder, I thought. The Wizards were, it was a two possession game still. 59 seconds left, 20 on the shot clock. Murray crosses half court, and I mean, George goes for the reach, tries to get the steal. I think it's just kind of a frustration because he had missed a mid-range jumper and a three in clutch time. So again, I've talked about on the pod with the frustration fouls for George. That's one of the things that I think he needs to get better at. And I think that was a really bad and not the smartest foul at the end in terms of you need to stop. I think they were down 4 at the time. Like, just hunker down. You'll get the ball back with about 40 left. Your 16-second difference between game and shot clock. You can still go 2 for 1. You have a timeout. And I thought that he didn't need to foul, and he did. So that was obviously not ideal, but can't really harp on it. He got to the rim, was efficient from deep, got to the mid-range, got his teammates involved, didn't turn it over, helped on the glass, 3 blocks, 1 steal. It was pretty commonplace for a guy that has really cemented himself as a great on-ball defender, perimeter defender, versatile defender, defending 1 through 4. So I really enjoyed his performance. Stayed out of foul trouble. It's sort of what you expect from Keyshawn when he is able to put it all together, and you saw that tonight. Apart from those two, I thought Sarr was good. Middleton 16 on 6 of 13, 7 boards. He wasn't bad, but like defensively, you can just tell that he's not there. He used to be a really solid defender, I think, in Milwaukee. But obviously not that anymore. And so he had 16 points, but most of this season, I'd say, is it's not been a disappointment from Middleton. Like, he's 34. How much are you really expecting to get out of Middleton? He's going to score the basketball efficiently, which he did tonight, and he's not really going to do too much else for you. And again, so it's not like you're surprised by it, but would Champagny in those minutes and in that role be better? Definitely on the defensive end, and maybe even on the offensive end, because Justin had 13 again off the bench. It's not like Middleton was the reason they lost this game. He had a big three in the corner to tie the game late. So again, I saw some comments about Middleton's performance. He was not the reason they lost tonight, I'll say that. Trey Johnson, let's talk about him. Typically when we talk about Trey on the pod, it's positive. Tonight maybe might be the first truly negative discussion surrounding a Trey Johnson performance. And again, that's Maybe the Toronto game, I think I talked negatively about him just because he was bad and he didn't play the whole fourth quarter. That was more a gripe against the coaching staff for not playing him. And obviously later, I was told that he had the hip injury and then he missed a bunch of games. So sort of understand that. But tonight, just 4 points on 1 of 10 from the field, missed all four of his threes. Again, he got good looks. It's not like Trey was forcing things or that Trey was taking bad shots or he wasn't getting good looks. He was open on a lot of these jumpers. I mean, he had a play in the beginning of the game. The first play of the game, they ran a pin down action and Trey was wide open from three. He missed it. He had four threes. A good portion of them were good looks. I thought he got to his spots and I thought he took shots he usually takes. He just didn't make the shots that he usually makes. I didn't need to rhyme that, but it does. So again, it's not like a panic moment, but it is a hey, he was bad tonight. And if Trey Johnson makes a couple more shots, we're probably talking about a different result. We're probably talking about a nice win for the Wizards against, the Jokic-less Nuggets, but a Nuggets team that still had Murray and Gordon and a bunch of their other good players as well. And so obviously when it comes down to that, it's a close game. Trey going 1 for 10, not ideal, certainly, but that performance from Trey is not a one that's indicative, right, of how he's been playing, or sort of one where I'm disappointed or upset at the 1 for 10. He got the same looks he's been getting. He just didn't make them. He's a rookie. You gotta hope, I think, that it's not a rookie wall. Again, like halfway point of the season, 41 games in, they're 10-31. He missed a couple games, but he's been starting, playing pretty heavy minutes. And last year at Texas, I don't know if he played 41 games at all, or even was a part of him, the travel and everything. So this around this time is sort of that rookie wall, January, February. You got to hope that he's not hitting it. So if this is another common theme where his efficiency drops pretty hefty, or pretty increasingly, I guess, over the next couple of games, then maybe you can start to, I wouldn't say panic, but you can start to sort of get concerned about, hey man, why is this happening? And maybe it's a rookie wall, but until it happens over a 5 to 6 to 7 game span, I wouldn't make too much of it. All I'd say is he got his looks and he didn't make them. And obviously that's going to happen to most players, but especially a rookie, obviously, who's playing a lot more games in his career than he typically does. Bench production, again, Champagne, Bagley, that's really what you got. 27 combined points. Bagley, 14 on 5 of 6 from the field, 6 rebounds. Again, it's the same thing, same consistent production from him on a nightly basis. He's going to get double-digit points. He's going to shoot very efficiently from the field. He's going to grab rebounds, and he's going to defend, pretty good for a guy that I really didn't enter the season considering to be a good or a plus defender. I think he's held his own on the defensive end. And so again, he was phenomenal. Of course, off the bench, Champagne 13 on 6 of 11 again, double digits again, efficient again, 9 boards, a lot of rebounds again. It's the same stuff for these guys. He had 3 steals as well, and I want to make sure that it's not just an afterthought. It's really impressive to see these guys consistently do it. And what's fascinating is Champagne started last night, and he starts a couple games for the Wizards when Middleton misses the first or second game of back to back. But then he's right back in that bench role, and it's the same production, the same quality minutes from him on a nightly basis. The same for when Bagley fills in. If Sarr's not playing in a starting role, you're getting the same production just in an increased role. And then when he comes back to the bench, it's a similar consistent showing. And it's funny because these guys don't really get the shine, and they don't start as much as they probably should if the Wizards are trying to be competitive. And that's more so a thing for starting for Champagne over Middleton, obviously, and his Bagley. Everyone knows that Sarr is the better player and should start. But they're probably the Wizards' two biggest trade chips, biggest trade pieces entering February's deadline, which, again, entering the season, I didn't right hand up. I didn't think that'd be the case. And it's awesome because they're also on really good team-friendly deals. I mean, Bagley, 1 year expiring vet minimum, putting up these numbers is probably the perfect center for a contending team that's looking to buy a cheap piece that they can kind of take with them for a stretch run, and obviously expiring after the season, so not big commitment. Champagne this year, and I think another year or maybe 2 years with a team option in there as well, but making about, I think, 2.9 million this year, which is unbelievable. It might be even less than that. And again, that production is great. So, the deadline is less than a month away. Like, I'm sure you'll start to see these guys pick up steam. I don't think they should trade Champagne. He's 23, I think, maybe 24 years old. He's not the youngest in the young core, but he would fit your core if you're trying to move this thing forward. I think he's a winning player. He's a consistent player. I mean, I think you need some guys like that if next year you're trying to compete. He certainly should be in your rotation. Now, Bagley, I understand, he's 26. He's not that much older than Champagne, but he's had an injury history, and the Wizards showcased last year they weren't shy in trading him if it means bringing back draft capital, especially if you're taking back a bad contract and you get a first round pick that turns into O'Reilly, who had 7 points tonight and thought he had some quality minutes as well for the second straight game. You're probably going to do that 10 times out of 10. So I think Wizards fans would be more upset if they traded Champagne than Bagley. I think Bagley makes sense, and I think they'd be smart to do it. And that's not an indictment on Bagley. I think he's great here, and if they keep him, that's fine. But he's playing awesome. Again, 14 points, 6 boards on 5 of 6. He won his minutes plus two again. Champagne was a plus one. He's really solid, and I think a contending team could really use that production, especially the expiring vet minimum. I think a first round pick might be a little bit of a rich ask, but like let's say you package Bagley and Middleton to bring back a really bad contract that has an additional year attached to it. Maybe you can. I mean, if that's the case, then you should net a first round pick, pretty similar to like the Marcus Smart trade last year. But again, that was a lot of conversation about trades to just say that Champagne and Bagley again were good tonight against the Nuggets. And look, the Wizards were winning in the fourth quarter. And then, yes, I understand that the Nuggets didn't have Jokic, that's their best player, arguably the best player in the league. But they still had Jamal, and they had Aaron Gordon, who both played pretty good games. And, they won. They beat the Wizards, and it wasn't that the Wizards beat themselves. I think that's the main thing is like, Jamal Murray had to be clutch, 17 fourth quarter points to bring Denver back. I mean, the Wizards were up 96 to 89 after George hit a three. And obviously they quickly blew that lead. They were down three, then they sort of fought their way back to tie the game. So I thought they hung around. And if you're in the business of quality tank losses, like this is your quality tank loss, as quality of a tanking loss as you can get. They fought hard for 4 quarters. They were right there in the end. I mean, they had some looks. Bob Carrington had a mid-range to cut it, to cut the lead in half. Keyshawn George had a really good look from three and from mid-range. Just couldn't get them to fall. And on the other end, Denver made their shots. Gordon hit a big three. Jamal Murray hit some big shots and made free throws. So they had guys that could close the game out. The Wizards didn't, and that's been the story of a lot of games. But when the Wizards are trying to obviously keep their pick, but also trying not to actively be like, we are fully tanking, and you want to see development, like those are the kind of the three pillars that you want to check in every game. And obviously the fourth being that they lost. I mean, I thought they checked all of them, right? You saw great stuff from Sarr and from George and even from, well, Riley, Jahmyr Watkins hit a three off the bench, played some really good defense. Your trade pieces in Champagne and Bagley played really well again. So you sort of saw that and the development. That's a check. You competed for all 4 quarters and had a chance to win the game in the end. That's a check. You were right there against a quality Denver team that's sort of trying to compete without Jokic, but also compete for a title. There's a check there. And you lost the game. And as sad as that may sound, that's a check in this season. Like we don't sugarcoat stuff on this podcast. Like I haven't been afraid to call the Wizards out. Like they are tanking. It's obvious that they're tanking. I think they're doing it as ethically as they can. I don't think they're breaking any of the league's rules with Trae Young and all that stuff in regards to his two injuries. But they are tanking. And if you understand what's at stake, you understand that, yes, development is at the forefront, and you want to see guys like George have games like he did tonight, but you also need to lose. And they've lost 6 games in a row now. I think they've all been by 13-plus points. A lot of them were rather uncompetitive. Again, like you lost to the Sixers, and you weren't that competitive there for the second half. The Pelicans game, a game against a team in the Pelicans that is not good, has 10 wins just like the Wizards. And they beat the Wizards by, I think, was it 21 points in Capital One Arena. And then you go on this West Coast road trip. You get blown out by Phoenix to start. You go to the Clippers, and that's sort of a close game in some points, but you still lose by I think 15 or 13 points or however many points they lost to by the Clippers. It was double digits. And then you go to Sacramento, you get blown out 41-22 in the first quarter, you bring it back, but in the end, you're not competitive in the second half and you lose by 13. And then you come out tonight and it's a really competitive game, but you lose. And so for five of these six losses, they were pretty non-competitive. Tonight was a really good one, especially on the second of a back-to-back, high altitude in Denver. They could have sort of given in last game of a long road trip, but they competed. So that's a credit to Key for having his guys, ready and willing to contend and compete. He gets a lot of flack, but I thought I came away pretty surprised at the effort. I thought this could be just, a blowout and uncompetitive loss. But they were pretty good, right? It's a perfect tanking loss. It's now six straight losses, obviously, after that 7-5 stretch. And I'm sure most of your Wizards fans that were sort of upset that they were winning a lot of games are happy, because for most of the road trip, you saw the old Wizards, the 3-20 Wizards, and not the 7-5 over 12 games Wizards. And obviously, when most fans are probably excited about that, and I can't blame you, right? Because if you look around the league, other teams that are surrounding the Wizards are playing some really good basketball, while the Wizards are playing some of the worst basketball of the season. They've lost six straight. I think the Pacers have won four of their last five or four of their last six. The Pelicans obviously picked up two wins, one over the Wizards. You have the Kings that have won four in a row, which really good for the Wiz because I thought the Kings might be a bottom dweller. The Nets just came off a win over the Bulls. They were at 12 wins. And you got teams like Dallas and Milwaukee and Memphis and LA that are above 17 wins. The Wizards might not even get to that mark. And so you're starting to see a separation where you have a bottom half of the league that's sort of ascending a little bit, and then you have your bottom three teams like the Wizards, the Pacers, and the Pelicans, and they're all tied at the bottom with 10 wins. The Wizards are third worst right now just because they played less games. They played 41 to 43 with Indiana and 44 with New Orleans. So again, the Wizards, if they played more games, they'd probably be in the same position. But they're right now a game and a half inside the bottom three. And three games inside the bottom four for again those that are counting at the halfway point because some people are doing that. So in terms of the tank, again, I tried to warn Wizards fans when they were winning a lot of games, relax, enjoy the wins. Like they're going to pull it in and pull it back, and they're gonna find ways, believe me, to lose games. Whether it's ethically or not, they're gonna find a way, and they have found a lot of ways. Over the last couple of games, and certainly tonight was another result. Good tank loss, a much better loss, probably the best loss of this six-game losing streak, but a loss nonetheless. I mean, George was good, really good actually. Sar was solid. Trey Johnson was not, and the Wizards fall to 10-31 on the season. In terms of what's to come, they return home after that loss, and they got two more. I mean, it's pretty similar competition. They got the Clippers on Monday at 3, early start, and then they got on Thursday Denver at 7. I mean, it's possible Jokic is back. I'm not sure for that game, but again, that's two teams that are playing really good basketball. The Clippers are really good. They're 18-23 after a 6-21 start. So again, wouldn't expect the Wiz to win either of those games. It'd be sort of a surprise if they did. But they've lost six in a row, and they're pretty firmly back. They sort of overachieved a little bit over that stretch and had some people concerned. I understand, why people concerned, but as you can see, no reason to be concerned there because the Wizards, more than anyone, know what's at stake, and they know they need to keep their protected pick. And this six-game losing streak is sort of been a showcase of their knowledge of that. So again, that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Obviously, Cam Whitmore out for the year. We talked about that. Keyshawn with 29. Tonight, you had 23 against the Clippers. A couple games ago was phenomenal on both ends. Sar with a solid game. Bob Carrington struggled. Good bench production from Champagne and Bagley. And as we start to get towards the deadline, we'll probably talk more about them and their value if there's any rumors attached and so on. But the Wizards fall tonight to the Denver Nuggets, 121-115. At the halfway point, they are 10-31 on the season. Which I think at the halfway point, I saw my friend Bijan Todd tweeted out, I think last year had 7 wins, the year before had 6 wins. So like it's an improvement, right? It is, as sad as that sounds, 10-31 is honestly a vast improvement at the halfway point for this team over the last couple years of the rebuild. But you'll start to see more losses, and that's going to be the case as the season goes on. They're on pace to get to, win 20 games, which again would be an improvement, as sad as it is, on last season's 8 seed. So we'll sort of see, what that production is like. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards Podcast. Thanks for listening, as always. Go Wiz.